So today, my topic will be on the river believer. River believer. Of course, I'll be talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, by the way, there are many symbols in the Bible, right? So one of them is water, it can be oil, right? It can be fire and so forth. But for today, obviously, I'll be talking about what? Water, river. Okay, can I? Right, yes. At least one is paying attention. Right, yes. So it's called the river believer. Now, in the Bible, river is mentioned many times. Let me look at my watch. Okay. River is mentioned many times. We see a river flowing throughout the Bible, beginning from Genesis 2. Genesis 2 is where man was created and placed in the Garden of Eden. And he was allowed to eat the tree of life. And in the garden, there was a river which divided into four rivers, reaching out to the whole earth. So when God created Adam and Eve, there was already a river. Now, in Revelation 22, that is the last book of the Bible, we see the river of water of life flowing in the middle of the city, and again, the tree of life growing on both sides of the river. So you see that river is always mentioned. But if you read the Bible more, you realize the river is not only mentioned in Genesis and the book of Revelation. River is also mentioned in other parts. So let me read to you some of the verses, and they are really beautiful and wonderful verses. In Psalm 36 verse 8 and 9 says, "You cause them to drink of the river of your pleasures, for with you is the fountain of life." In John 4:14, "The Lord Jesus gave us the living water, which become in us a fountain gushing up into eternal life." All right, so today, my message will be based on John chapter 7. Yeah, do you like the picture there? Oh, nobody like. Okay, I like it anyway. Yeah. Can you see the rivers of living water? Right, yes. And we want to read John chapter 7, 38 to 39. This is in the NASB. So just follow me, follow on around there. "Now, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being." Innermost being, another word is called belly. Everybody say belly. "Will flow rivers of living water." Verse 39. "But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Right? So we see in this scripture, not only a well, but we see something bigger than a well. We see a river. We see a river. And do you know that I believe that we receive a well anointing when we are born again? Right? When we are born again, we receive the Holy Spirit. No, it is a well anointing. But when you receive a river anointing, when you get baptized in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So I want to make a distinction that at salvation, you receive the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit convict you and I, and we become the children of God by accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But there is subsequently, there is another event, what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And that is when the Holy Spirit monopolizes you. You know the younger one, you know the word monopolize, not monopoly, you know. Monopoly means what? The Holy Spirit literally take over you and control you, that you are totally yielded to the Holy Spirit. So it's not enough just to be a Christian in that sense that, oh, I just received the Holy Spirit at salvation. But you want to be a powerful Christian, right? You need to be Spirit-filled. And this is my message, Spirit-filled. Now, I will give you the context of these verses that I've just read. According to John chapter 7, verse 2, the Jews, they were celebrating the Feast of Tabernacle or the Feast of Booth. Now, what is this feast? It's a Thanksgiving feast lasting 8 days. The people would leave their home and they would live in palm branches. This is a reminder of their nomadic life in the wilderness. It was a time for them to remember what God had done for them in the past. It was the priest. What would the priest do? The priest would carry golden pitchers, leading a parade through the pool of Siloam, singing the words of Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. Right? Is it there? Isaiah? Wait, let me see. Okay. Yeah, is it there? Oh, yes, okay. How come it looks so blur? Is it my spectacle is blur? Yeah, but anyway, you can see, as long as you can read, it's alright, Yes. time to change spectacles. Now, Isaiah chapter 12 verse 3. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And what happened is, the crowd, they would parade back to the temple, and the priest would pour the water that they took from the pool of Siloam, and they would go to the altar of the temple, and they would begin pouring. Right, in the pouring. It lasted 7 days. On the eighth day, this is where Jesus appeared. On the eighth day, there was no singing and shouting. It was a time of solemn repentance. Solemn repentance. So there was no water poured out on the eighth day, signifying the disobedient generation that died in the wilderness. Right. So instead of a shout and a waving of the palm branches, there was total silence. And it was during this time that Jesus cried out. So I want you to imagine. Can you imagine or not? Can you imagine that there were thousands of people and Jesus standing at the steps of the temple and he cried out. What did he cry out? He cried out these verses. If anyone is thirsty, right, come and drink of me. This is a verse. He's inviting us to drink from him. Now, how does a river believer look like? So my title is A River Believer. Everybody say a river believer. Right. Another time I will talk about the fiery believer, fire on fire. But today it'll be the water. Right? Because it is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Now how does a river believer look like? We will take a look at the condition of the river believer and more importantly at the characteristic of the river believer. Right? So what does a river believer do like? Does he get water baptized all the time or what? You know, but there are some characteristics, and I feel that it's very important for us at whatever age that we need to continue to be in the river, and we need to know what are the characteristics of a river believer. Now, firstly, the condition. You must have an appetite. Everybody say appetite. Not for dinner, right? Yeah, appetite means that you need to be thirsty. So Jesus is the fountain of living water. So you and I need to have a conscious desire to be thirsty. Because Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, do you know that a person can go hungry for many days? But for water, if a person doesn't have water, scientists have shown that it's about, maybe you can live between 3 or 4 days. Unless some miracle happen. But normally, 3 or 4 days without water, that's it. No, you will go to heaven. Huh? Yes. So the first thing is that I believe we must not be passive. You must take the first step to seek God. So today, ask your neighbor, turn to your neighbor and say, are you thirsty for God? Yes. All right. So if you are thirsty for God, there is hope. Jesus said, if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. And Psalm 42 mentioned that, as the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you. Oh God, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before you? So today, Jesus is giving what we call an imperial invitation. Imperial means royal invitation. And I have the, can you see that? All right, though this is about the water. What I was trying to say is that, if you are thirsty, I can bring a glass of water to you, but unless you take the water and you swallow it and you drink, it will not do you any good. Is that right? You will still be thirsty. Yes. So this message will only be beneficial to you if you are thirsting after the Lord Jesus. Right? So it's not a matter of just say, yes, I know I'm thirsty. But Jesus is giving you the water. So are you willing to take that first step? Say, I need to drink. I need to drink. Amen. Now, I have the opportunity of going to 2 of the falls. In fact, I'm so privileged now. How many of you have been to the Niagara Fall? Wow, a few hands. Yeah, I saw the hand behind. How about, now this one not so easy. Victoria Falls. Got or not? Oh, don't have, right? Now, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed to be able to go, and Niagara Falls and Victoria Falls, once upon a time, they were one of the 7 wonders of the world. Not now, long time ago. And had the opportunity. Now, if you see the picture, Niagara Falls is located between 2 states, Canada and U.S. All right, so you can go from the Ontario, Toronto side, or you can go from the Buffalo, New York side. Right, so of the 2, let me tell you, Victoria Falls is more magnificent because I have the opportunity to see both. Right, and Victoria Falls, similarly, amazingly, is also located between 2 countries in Africa. Do you know the country? Zambia and Zimbabwe. Right? Yeah. So you can go from Livingstone in Zambia, or you can go from the site in Zimbabwe. And when you go there, let me tell you, you will just be in awe to looking at that water, the amount of water. Right? So today, why am I showing you the picture? I am challenging you that we need to be not a well Christian. Right? What do you need to be? River Christian, and not a tiny river. Don't think about Singapore River. Right? Singapore River, or I don't know what river you have. Right? But I want you to think of, yeah, Niagara Falls. More so, Victoria Falls. This is what we are called to be. The River Christian. Right? And it's like, coming to church, yes, you have to be excited. At my age, I've been to church for many, many years. Yeah, alright, I've listened to maybe hundreds of thousands of sermons. But to me, church is still a beautiful place, a wonderful place, because I come with the right attitude to seek God. And for me, actually, I don't bother who is a worship leader, who is a preacher. Do you know that? I don't bother, because I know when I gather together with God's people, what, the presence of God is there, and surely I can receive something. Can I hear amen? Yeah, so this should be your attitude. No, don't go and ask your cell leader. Next week, who is the speaker? Somebody asked me, that. Who is the speaker for next week? I said, you want to know who? The answer is God. True. I said, God is speaking. After that, the person never asked me anymore. Yes, God is speaking. Right or not? Yes. So according to your heart, according to your faith, you shall receive. Huh? Yeah, so today, this is an imperial invitation, and the invitation is not to attend a church or a program or a Bible study, but it's an invitation to Jesus himself. Jesus is giving the invitation, whether you want to drink of him or not. So the Holy Spirit is like a mighty rushing river, releasing life-giving water. So firstly, we see here that not only you need to have an appetite, we thank God that the water is available to everybody. Right, so Jesus is not picky. He's no respecter of person, or respecter of person say, oh, some can drink from me, some cannot. Right, so anyone means Jesus is available to all. Everybody say all. 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 Yes. So if now you are sitting there and you are not yet a believer, what does that mean? You have not drunk from the river yet. But I hope at the end of the service, there's opportunity. Jesus is asking you, are you thirsty? You can drink from him. And the living water that you drink, your life will be completely changed. Now, so John 4:13-14, Jesus answered and said to the Samaritan woman, everyone who drinks of this water, they will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Right? So you see, the water is available. Not only is the water available, it is accessible. Amen. Sometimes things are available but not accessible. Alright, not accessible. Sometimes you want to call your friend and talk, and your friend is not accessible, busy doing something else. But Jesus is accessible. His well is never dry. His well is never dry. Now, so Jesus is available, Jesus is accessible, he wants to give you the water, but what you need to do is that you need to appropriate. Appropriate. Alright, appropriate means what? You need to take the water and drink it for yourself. So if you don't appropriate, then nothing will happen. Nothing will change. Nothing will change. So you need to do it for yourself. Huh? So it's not enough that Jesus is always available, accessible to all, but you must appropriate it. You must decide to drink. Some people, they drink very little. Yeah. Some people drink a lot. Right? But I tell you where the things of the Spirit are, be greedy. Oh, what, that word greedy. It's a word in church. Oh, Cynthia tell me it can be greedy. You know why? Because, do you know there's a word called covetous? Covet the Holy Spirit. Covet the spiritual gift. It's in the Bible, no? All right, I didn't give you, all right? So, the only thing that you are allowed to be greedy about is what? The Holy Spirit and the gift of the Spirit. Can I hear amen? Yeah, that's the only thing, right? So, covetous means what? To be greedy. So today I'm asking you to be very, very thirsty, to be greedy for God himself, for the things of God. Huh? And I think I gave you the verses that are there. Alright, the book of, I will not read it. Right? Yeah. I really can't see. Yeah. Now, so we will go on to the characteristic of the river believer. But before that, before I talk about the river believer, I want to share with you what a river believer is not. So sometimes when I tell you the opposite, it will make more sense. Then later I'll tell you what the river believer is. Now, so Jeremiah 2:13, it says here, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, to hew for themselves cistern, broken cistern that can hold no water." This is the prophet Jeremiah rebuking Israel for two sin. What are the two sin? They forsook God. They had deserted the only source of living water. They forsook God and they went, what? They went to worship the idol and so forth. Idolatry. Idolatry is an abomination to God. Right? And secondly, they hewed for themselves broken cistern. What are broken cistern? Broken cistern in Israel, basically they are clay pots, all right, clay pots, and they are cistern, to get the water, because as you know, Israel is a very dry land, so they have to store water when there's water, and when there's a famine, at least they have some water, right? So what happened is what they use a cracked cistern, and you know a cracked cistern is useless. Why? Because the water will just come out from the cistern, right? So I have a picture. Can you see that? Can you see the big hole, crack there? So whatever water you take, literally it will flow out. Right? So the broken cistern is actually, what I would say, a substitute. Instead of worshipping Yahweh, instead of getting their nourishment, getting their supply, everything they rely from God, now they are going for substitute. Right? And the thing is that it's so easy for us to say, yeah, that is Israel. Nowadays, we don't worship idols. Yeah, you don't worship idols made of clay, made of rock, made of marble. But I'm sure there are other things, they are just maybe more important to you than God. Wow, there is silence. There is silence. Right, so this is idolatry. So what are you substituting for? So if you are not relying on God, you are depending on some other source. You can even depend on a person. Then, literally, you have broken cistern. You have broken cistern. Right, yeah. So today, we do not want to be the broken cistern, but we want to be the river believer. Right, yeah. Let me share with you a story. There is this famous Boston preacher. His name was A.J. Gordon. And he visited the World Fair in Chicago. So from afar, he was standing here. He saw a man in oriental clothes. What was the man doing? He was turning the crank of a pump. And what happened is, as the man far off, he was turning the crank, what happened? Outflow a mighty gush of water. There was so much water. And A.J. Gordon was thinking, wow, this man must be so strong. He's so strong, he must be a strong man, because when he turned the crank, the water flowed out. So he was very curious, and he wanted to find out about, hey, how come you're so strong, where you get your strength from, and so forth. So what happened, as he went closer, he was surprised to see that the man was actually made of... Anybody know? Wood. You get it? The man was not a man. Oh yeah, I better say properly. The man was not a man, huh? The man was not a human. That's a better word, huh? The man was not a human, but he was made of wood. Right? So you're thinking, how come made of wood the water can come out, right? So instead of turning the crank and making the water flow, the flow of water through this wooden figure was actually turning the crank. In other words, the force of that water is the one is turning the crank. So the man is not doing it because he's not human, he's just a wood. So this is exactly what I'm talking about in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. We don't have to crank the water for eternal life and the power of God by effort. Alright, by effort. The power of the Holy Spirit should flow through us. Amen. Yeah. So it should be very natural. If you are a river believer, you can pray anytime. Right? You can witness anytime. You can do a lot of things because what? You're not depending on yourself. I'm not saying there is no preparation. By the way, I prepare the PowerPoint, I'm the one who prepare. I don't have secretary or personal assistant. I have to do it myself. But along the way, I learn also, Yeah. So, but what I'm trying to say that, yes, you need to prepare. But I tell myself, I do not over prepare. Because if I over-prepare, who am I depending on? Who? Titus? Myself. Yes. Right. So when I'm preaching or teaching, after all, it's God's work, I am relying on the Holy Spirit. Yeah, so sometimes out of my mouth, I speak funny things because it's not prepared. Yeah, but and I hope it is of the Lord lah. I say funny thing. I did not say strange things. Right. So let me go on. Yes. So we don't pump the living water. God give it and it outflow and overflow. So today I want to talk quickly on the 4 points. I have 4 points. How does a river believer look like? And when I am sharing with you, I'm also evaluating myself. They always say the preacher has to digest the food and apply himself before he can speak it out. Or not, it's useless. Right? Yeah. So for me, it's an ongoing journey of learning how to be a river believer. So let me share with you. Firstly, full of the word. Wait, I must go on. Okay, see, I thought, I forget. Yeah, right, yeah. So these are the two evils. Can you see? Yeah, two evils. The words are a bit small. Yeah, right. So the first one is full of the word. What word are we talking about? The Bible, God's word. So you need to hear the word, read the word, speak the word, fill up with the word of God. All of you, we want to have what? Faith. You want to have faith. Well, there is no shortcut to faith. Romans 10:17 say, faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Matthew 4:4 say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed from the mouth of God. So what are we filling our mind with? That's a question. Yeah, right? Do you know the acronym, GIGO? What is GIGO? G-I-G-O. I heard it from somewhere, you know. Garbage in. Yes, garbage out. Right, yeah. Right. Now, you know, it doesn't come from me, I read it from somewhere. And I say, quite interesting. GIGO. Garbage in, garbage out. So what do you fill your mind with? That's a question. Right? Yeah. So you are responsible to make sure the right thing goes in. Amen. Yes. So meditation on the Bible should be the lifestyle of every river believer. Right? Don't just read the Bible. Read 5 chapters. And you can't even share one thing that you learn from the 5 chapters. Right? So learn to meditate. Meditate takes time. But meditation, I tell you, is very useful. Meditation. Right? So we should not tolerate the word, but love the word. Now, how can we love the word if we don't know what you say? Definitely right. How can we love the word if we do not know? So we have to take time to study. So I'm not talking about simply head knowledge, but experiential knowledge. Experiential knowledge means what? The heart. Yes, we read with our mind, but our heart need to absorb. You need to reflect. We need to agree with God's word and so forth. Huh? Yes. So don't be a cherry picking believer. Now, why do I say that? I remember when I was in Toronto, going to visit Niagara Falls, right? So we all stopped at a cherry farm and all of us carry a basket. And we were told that you just pluck all the cherry and you can eat as much as you want, but they will only weigh the one in the basket. So that was a good deal. I ate about 2 kilo cherry. Right? Right, yeah. And I think I only bought 0.5 kilo because I had my fill. Right? And but by the way, the cherry, there are many cherry trees. So what do? I pick the biggest one, the sweetest and the juiciest. Is that such a word? Juiciest. Yeah, right. Yes. No, yes. So that's how. So when we say, don't be a cherry picking believer, where I show you the picture. Yes. All right. It means what? We are very selective. Right. We want the promises of the Bible. Yes, we want. But when the Bible says, forgive others. Oh, that one we pretend we didn't see. So you are very selective. Right, you are very selective. Right, so that is not the way to be a river believer. It means what? We have just to accept the word of God as it is. Right, as it is. And sometimes, do you know that even when you want to obtain the promises of God, some of God's promises they are conditional. You know, conditional. It means there is a if. Everybody say if. Yes, there's an if inside. Don't just look at the promise. Are you obeying God or not? Right, but many of us we're not interested in the condition. Just want to claim, and so forth. All right. So these people that do that, they are the cherry picking believer. I will call them a carnal or a shallow Christian. Yes. Right. So when you do something wrong, they will what? They will take the Bible and they will hantam you. You know hantam or not? They will whack you. They will send you as send you by WhatsApp the Bible verse that talks about your sin and so forth. Right? But they don't look into themselves. So don't be a cherry picking believer. Right? Take the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God. Now, secondly, still on the first point about the full of the word, I want to talk about this faith. Right? And I put there active faith. What do I mean by this? Active faith, that means that God's invitation leads to a crisis of belief. That means that when God speaks, now when God speaks, it can be the Bible or it can be through other means. I teach hearing the voice of God. There are about 15 ways that God speaks besides the Bible. Bible is one of them, right? But Bible has the final authority. Amen? Bible has the final authority. Not your dream, you know. Right? Your dream doesn't have the final authority, but dreams can be one way that God speaks to you. Yes. So when God speaks, He requires two things from you. Faith and action. After all, James say what? Faith without work is dead. Right? So many people say they have faith. But when I look at their life, nothing is happening. Huh? Yes. Yeah. And James say, I will show you my works to indicate that I have faith. Right? So faith and action. They are not in opposition. Paul says in Ephesians that we are saved by grace and not by work. But he also reiterates in Ephesians 2:10 that we are created to do good works which God has prepared in advance for us. Right? Yeah. So the example of a crisis of belief, one example that I can find, I put there, I think I didn't put, okay, let me go back. It is found in Acts chapter 10, 13 to 14. It's talking about the Peter. You know, Peter had a trance, right? Peter was a Jew. He couldn't eat unclean food. He only eat kosher food. Kosher food is a Jewish kind of dietary requirement. And remember, right, he was hungry. He was praying on the rooftop. And what happened? He fell into a trance. And when he fell into a trance, what happened? Three times he saw a blanket. Is it a blanket? Yeah, a blanket or something, like a cloth, no? And then all the unclean animals drop onto the cloth. For us, we say, wow, let's barbecue. We will say the first thing. But of course, not for the apostle Peter. Is it Peter, right? Yeah. Alright, so Peter saw that and Peter was thinking, am I hallucinating? How come I see all these unclean animals all falling down? And worst of all, what did he hear? God told him to say, Peter, rise up and eat. Right. And the first thing he said, Lord, no. Right. And three times God had to tell him to go and eat. All right. Yeah. So that vision was basically telling Peter that he was supposed to minister to the Gentile. You know, the Cornelius story, the whole story. All right. Yeah. So what I'm saying is that sometimes when you want to obey, God reveals something to you or when you read the Bible, right, you have a crisis of belief in the sense that you struggle. What do you struggle with? You struggle with two things. Firstly, you struggle with what? It's the battle of the mind. That's what I call it. All right? Okay? Is it there? Yeah. What happens when you are confronted with God's word or God's revelation? You exercise your will to make a choice. You decide who to believe and what to believe. It's very important. You have to decide. Don't be someone that is like, like the wind, no? Right. Somebody say this because you like the person, you don't check out, you don't have wisdom, you follow. Right. And then somebody say this, you also follow. Don't be double-minded. The Bible says when you are double-minded, you will receive nothing. Right. Yeah. So you have to decide who to believe and what to believe. And as a Christian, it's very simple. Who do you believe? Who do you choose to believe? God, right? Right or not? Because God, the Bible is our manual. Our lifestyle manual. Right. So sometimes not necessary to go and ask this, ask that. Sometimes not necessary even to ask, what does a pastor think? What does a cell leader think and all that? Oh, by the way, I'm not against the cell leader or the pastor, right? But I'm saying that go to the word yourself and pray. But if you want someone to give you, a covering or some counsel, the Bible did say, in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. It's fine. But as a real believer, you need to take the ownership to find the truth. Amen. Right. And you have many, many Bibles. And you can pray. You have direct access to God. And I'm sure with an open heart, the Lord will lead you to tell you what actually you will do in what situation. Right. Yeah. So firstly, you exercise your will to make a choice. Secondly, you realign your thinking. Many of us have what? Have wrong thought pattern. We have wrong mindset. Right? Whether you are old or young, you know, our mindset, our thought pattern is not according to the Bible. Right? So, our job is not to make the Word of God fit what I think. Should be the other way. What's the other way, Titus? I should change, right? We should change to fit into what the Bible says. Yeah. But many of us know. We will argue. We will argue. Right? Yeah. So we think that, you know, God can just bend. Yeah. Sometimes I'm very careful about the word. You know the word case by case. You know? Yeah. Very dangerous, case by case. Right? For sometimes, you know, sometimes there's no case by case. It's black or white. You either choose it. Either choose black or choose white. But many of us, well, we say got a lot of things in the gray area. Right? But what I'm saying that at the end of the day, right, you just obey God. Though it's difficult, you struggle. You think it's easy sometimes to obey God? No, you struggle. But you pray through. And you say, God, I want to follow you. I want to follow you. Right? Yeah, so, the thirdly, you need to repent. Repent of your wrong thinking. No need to justify. We are very good in justifying, you know. We give all the reasons, hoping that God will understand, and so forth. Alright, yeah. So repent. Repent means a change of mind, not just the prayer of repentance. Alright, I've seen people pray, but no change. Alright, so, of course it's important to pray, but we need to change. And Derek Prince, what did he say? A person who has truly repented no longer argue with God. Is that true? Yeah, alright, yeah. So you want to see true repentance? He doesn't argue. He doesn't argue with God. So whatever God says, right, that he need to align with God's word, he will pray, he will struggle, but ultimately he will obey. He don't argue. Right? And then we need to, what's the word next word? Renounce, right? Yeah, renounce. Renounce all the lie and the stronghold. And lastly, we want to release God's truth. Right? In other words, that whatever the Bible says, we say God, we choose to believe and we want to apply. Amen. So that is the first characteristic. That is full of the word. Secondly, full of the spirit. I will give you some of the verses that talk about this. Romans 12:11, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. All right, fervent in spirit. And I like this translation by the another called the Moffat translation. It says maintaining the spiritual glow. I think the ladies like this, Yeah. Sometimes people say, "Hey, Cynthia, your complexion is quite good." Right. And I tell them, it's because of Estee Lauder. You know who's Estee Lauder? The moisturizer. Right. But of course, I also believe I have the glow also. The glow of the Holy Spirit. You can have both, ladies. And also men. Yeah. You can have glow. Yeah. You can have the spiritual glow. Yes. Right or not? You can have the spiritual glow. Yes. If you are full of the Spirit, you can. Now, then Acts 6:3, this is one of the characteristics of being a leader, you know, being a leader. It says what? Looking out for 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Right, yeah. And I want to share with you about this man called John Sung. Who has heard of John Sung? I think the older ones, the older ones, right? John Sung, do you know that he ever come to Singapore? He had a great revival. He led revival in China, Taiwan, and Southeast Asia, including Singapore. And I read this book, somebody gave me the book. It's entitled, A Thirst for the Holy Spirit from the Journal Once Lost, Extract from the Diary of John Sung. What a long title. Well, anyway, this is what he said. I will quote John Sung. He said here, listen carefully. All servants who have been greatly used by God have one common characteristic. Listen, they have all been anointed by the Holy Spirit. Right? Did they say they have been anointed by some, I have to be careful what I say. You know, by some, some bishop or they are anointed by, you know, by some senior pastor. No, right? What did they say? They have all been anointed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes, I'm not against ordination or what, I'm not against. I mean, there's a place for that. But the fact is that, does God know you or not? Right? That's the most important. So your anointing must come from God. Right? John was often filled with the Holy Spirit. This is what the book says. In fact, he paid great attention to and held a deep thirst for the work of the Holy Spirit. He held that only those who have been baptized by the Holy Spirit could derive strength from above. Right? So the greatest need of the church today is for her to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me repeat what he says. Sometimes we think the greatest need of the church is to have more program, more leadership program, or something like that. Huh? But according to John Sung, he says, the greatest need of the church today is for her to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Can I hear a big amen? Amen. Wow. Okay. This side is alive. This side not so alive. Huh? Yes. No, all of you are alive. Huh? Yeah. Thank you. Yes. So being filled with the Holy Spirit is not, what's the word? Not an option. Is that the word? That means that, yeah, I feel like it today. I want to be filled. But today, bad day. I don't think I want to be filled. It's not an option. No. It's a command. And when it's a command, your answer should be yes. All right? It's a command. And the command is found in Ephesians 5:18. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote. He wrote, and do not get drunk with wine, for there is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. There must be continually infilling. Some people say, oh, I was filled with the Holy Spirit 20 years ago. Oh dear, 20 years ago is a long, long time. Right? Do you have any testimony? Right? You know the story about a little boy. Little boy asked the grandfather, I think a 5-year-old boy, Grandpa, Grandpa, can you tell me what God has done? And the grandfather, he stroked the long beard. Grandfather got a long beard, right? So he carried the child, put on the lap, no? And he said, 30 years ago. Wow, the child said, wow, so long time. How about other thing God do? Then he said, 25 years ago. You see my point or not? In other words, we need to be fresh. Do you have a fresh testimony to share? Right? Do you have a fresh word from God saying that, oh, God has done this in my life. God has spoken to me. I'm changing in this way. Do you have? Right? So sometimes we are so satisfied. Spiritually. Yeah, in that sense. Now, the psalmist declared, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. The psalmist says that. I think it's, do you see the verse? Before the Almodi, I got a story about that. Yeah. So the psalmist say, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. He was previously anointed, but he still yearns for fresh oil. So oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So what I'm saying is that if the psalmist is satisfied, he won't say, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. That means the psalmist is always hungering. He's always know that he need to seek after God. He need to thirst after God. That whatever accomplishment, whatever things that he has received from the Lord is already in the past. Right, yeah. So we should not be satisfied. We should not be satisfied. Huh? Yeah. And I want to, tell you the story about this man, right? D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody, he was one of the great evangelists, right? Great evangelists. And, there are two stories about him. And normally when I teach about the Holy Spirit, I will talk about D.L. Moody because his example is really fascinating. Right. So D.L. Moody was a pastor, he was a preacher, and every week he will see two old ladies standing at the door there. Can you imagine? So during the old time, the pastor will shake hand with the congregation, right? And then the old lady will say, Pastor, we are praying for you. That's all the old lady said. So the two old ladies say that, Pastor, we are praying for you. And week after week, D.L. Moody said in his book that they say we are praying for you. So he got very curious and he wanted to know what are they praying about. I mean, it's okay for them to ask, for him to ask. So he asked, may I know what are you praying for me? And then the two ladies say, Pastor, we are praying for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So D.L. Moody being a pastor was a bit stunned now. And then he said, praying for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he says that, aren't you praying for the lost and the unsafe? And the old lady said, we are still praying for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I thank God D.L. Moody is a humble man. Not a humble man. That means he didn't say in his heart, I'm the pastor. Who are the two old ladies? They should be filled with the Holy Spirit. How come they say I should be filled? But anyway, the D.L. Moody told the lady, next time I want to join your little prayer meeting and let us pray together. Right, so he was so hungry for God and he prayed together for them. And true enough, like I said, God heard his prayer. And the story goes that he was in New York City. He was walking, D.L. Moody. He was walking, and suddenly the power of God fell on him. Right, so you think that the power of God would fall on the prayer meeting, right? But the power of God fell to him on the streets. So some of you that are hungry, let me tell you, when you are in the MRT, can the power of God fall on you? Only three people on it. Yeah. The three people say can. The rest of you keep quiet, mean you won't get it. No. Yeah. So anyway. No. So the power of God fell on him. He was full of the Holy Spirit and he couldn't contain it. All right. That means when you are filled with the Spirit, there is a manifestation. Now, when I say manifestation, just because I'm from the deliverance ministry, don't think that I'm talking about the demonic manifestation. I'm talking about the holy manifestation. Amen. Right. The word manifest simply means God revealing himself in a tangible way. The word manifest, is it? Right. Yeah. So D.L. Moody was so full of the Spirit, and I suppose he wanted to shout, he wanted to dance, I don't know. No, and his house was very far away. So the story goes that he went to his friend's house. Maybe his friend's house is near New York now, right? And he knocked on the door, the friend opened the door, and you know what happened to him? He went into the door, he spent 3 hours with God. Right? And after that incident, I tell you, he was a changed man. He was a changed man. Why was he a changed man? Because his ministry took on a different level. Right. D.L. Moody was already famous. He preached to hundreds. But after the encounter with the fullness of the Spirit, the story goes that he preached to hundreds, thousands. Do you see the power of the Spirit? Right. Yeah, the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes. And what happened? That's not the end. So there was an evangelistic meeting. Right, and one of the organizers asked, quite sarcastically, they asked, and this is what he asked, so listen carefully, does D.L. Moody have a monopoly of the Holy Spirit? Right, the question is, does D.L. Moody have a monopoly of the Holy Spirit? Meaning that, the person is saying that, do you mean D.L. Moody, he has all of God? He's asking that, right? The reply, somebody replied and said this, no, but the Holy Spirit as a monopoly of D.L. Moody. Right? So the answer is no. It's not D.L. Moody having lots of God. Rather, is God is having all of D.L. Moody. Right? So today, I'm asking you the same question and myself. Does the Holy Spirit as a monopoly of you? Yeah, so I hear a yes there. Right. So several years ago, I heard our missionary, I will not mention the name, but I think you know who they are, the two sisters. I won't mention the name, but you know who they are from here previously. Right. And they went to Timor-Leste and they started a Bible study reaching the youth and so forth. And then what happened is the story, I heard that while having a Bible study on the book of Acts, they are studying on the book of Acts. So in the book of Acts, there's a lot of action, right? Action, the book of Acts. And what happened? There was a manifestation. Now, this manifestation is the demonic manifestation. A few of them, they come from a dysfunctional background. They come from gangsterism. And what happened is, the word became alive. Right, word became alive. And how to say, the Holy Spirit fell upon them and there was some manifestation. Right, yeah. And immediately, these two missionaries, they ministered to them. Right, relying on the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. How exciting. Amen. How exciting that we get to partner with the Holy Spirit. Right? And signs and wonders will follow the preaching of the word. So literally, the few people that were there, it's not just an ordinary Bible study, just filling out our head, but literally they had a power encounter. Power encounter with the Holy Spirit, and they were all set free. Amen. Yeah. So besides full of the word and the Holy Spirit, the river believer needs to be full of commitment. All right, I will go quickly. Let me go. Full commitment. Full of commitment. And this one king, it talks about, the challenge between the prophets of Baal and Elijah and so forth. All right, and then you can read the verses there. I will not read. And Elijah asked them, who do you want to follow? You want to follow Baal, you go and follow. You want to follow God, you follow God. There's no, standing on the fence. Some of us Christians, good times, we follow God. Bad times, we will follow other small gods that can give us answer and so forth. Right? So firstly is that, right, we have been given the free will. Right? So we have been given the power of choice. With that power, we can create our own future, a better future and so forth. Right? Yeah. So you must be full of commitment. And lastly, this is very important. You must be full of conviction. Now, How would you describe a spiritual Christian? If I ask you, there will be many answers. And probably some of your answers are all right. It may not be the same answers, but your answers are probably right. Right, so many answers to that loaded question. One way I would assess for myself, I would assess whether you are a spiritual Christian or not, is your degree of conviction. It means that, why do you obey God? Yeah, no, or like I say, no. Why do you obey God? Is it because of your parents, your spouses, your pastor, your good friends? Right. In other words, if you want to mature as a river believer, you want to mature as a Christian, you need to have your own conviction. Right? Conviction. The person who is convicted, he simply obeys because he has the fear of God. He's convicted by the Holy Spirit to obey and to do what is right. What is right. And I want to define conviction. Is it there? Yeah, the book of conviction, right. And I remember in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, the apostles, they were whipped, right? And they were told to stop, witnessing, sharing the gospel. And what did they say? We ought to obey God rather than men. I repeat that. Right? Yeah. We ought to obey God rather than men. Yeah. So we have to, really, you know, pray to God and to take away the fear of men. Many a time we make choices, we are not convicted. Right, because of to fear men, right? We obey, but actually it's not right. Right, we obey simply because of God, not for other reason. So biblical conviction, I put the definition there. Firstly, for us as Christians, it's a commitment to Scripture as its authority. The Scripture should be our authority, not what somebody say. Right, I don't even bother if somebody has PhD, is a theologian, he says something, but not according to Scripture, then I think I will not accept it. Right? Yeah, I think we have to mature. Instead of saying, oh, so and so say. To me, go back to the Bible, study for yourself, find out what did God say. Then you just follow what God say. Amen. I think all of us need to grow in that area, including myself. Secondly, values and belief must be based on Scripture. What we talk about biblical conviction. Right, so values and belief must be based on Scripture. And that's why we need to study the Scripture. Right, sometimes we attend classes and we say, this teacher say that, he or she may be wrong, no? Right, so that's why the Bereans were commended in the book of Acts, no? The Bereans were commended because they go home and they check out everything that was preached. They search the Word of God. Amen. You should be doing that, checking the Word of God. Not in a critical way, but checking and say, is this what it means or what? Right. And thirdly, conviction means what? Courage to act on those convictions in faith. Right. You have the courage. In other words, that you have to do it. Not a matter of, I agree what the Bible says, but you are doing something else. Right. This is conviction. And I believe, the river believer is a person that is convicted. Convicted by the Holy Spirit according to the Word of God. And the two examples that I want to give quickly before I close. The first one is young Daniel. Daniel was probably about 17 or 18 when he was shipped off to Babylon. Alright? Right. And in Daniel 1:8, he says this verse. It's not there. Yeah. Okay, Joseph, before Joseph. Okay, we want to talk about these two characters. Daniel. Daniel made up his mind. Some versions say what? Daniel purpose in his heart. I also like. I think that one is the NKJV. But NASB say that, but Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank and so forth. Right? Yeah. So there are things, like I said, now you must really make up your mind. Right? And one of the areas is this unequally yoked thing. Right? I know I'm stepping on what ground? Treacherous. Yeah, treacherous ground. Yes. Yeah. You have to make up your mind as a believer. Alright. You make up your mind. My spouse, my future spouse, have to be a person of the same faith. Christian. Right. Yeah. Because if now you are not sure, you say, when the bridge come, then I cross the bridge. You know, something people say, it's too late. Because you did already, you know, you're emotionally all get caught. No point going for counseling. Like some people after a courtship of 6 months with a non-believer, they go to the pastor. Too late already, because your emotions are already there. What you won't even listen to us, right, in that sense. So I really caution you. There are some areas where you make up your mind. How about career? There are certain jobs. I will not say, you know, certain jobs that are not edifying for a Christian. Right? So you make up your mind now. Like if Daniel as a young man can do it, surely you can, right? Amen? Yeah. So these are things where I'm saying that you need to be convicted, you need to pray. Right? Yeah. And you make up your mind also. Yeah, of course, another example is Joseph. You know Joseph, right? Joseph was only 20 plus. I did a research, you know, early 20. He must be a handsome guy. And of course, this Potiphar's wife was eyeing him, right? Yeah, and you know, I will not read, but Joseph was a man of biblical conviction, right? I know that men are in 20 plus, all their hormones are raging. Hey, men got hormone or not? I don't have, But whatever it is, I'm sure that you are good looking and when somebody, you know, likes you or what, no. But look at the example of Joseph. He did not sin, alright? So as young people, you will face many temptations and trial. How will you stand? What will you do when people are not watching? Do you only do the right thing to impress or please people? We should live to please God. We obey God because God says so. Huh? Yeah, and I want to conclude with this story, another story. You want to listen to the last story? Yeah, this is T.E. Lawrence, right? So the music thing can come out ready? Yeah, right. This is a very interesting story, but you will prove my point. T.E. Lawrence, he became famous for his exploit as a British military liaison to the Arab revolt during the First World War. Right, yeah. So he was like a military officer. So during the war, he became very good friend with the Sheikh of Arabia. You know, sheikhs, like kings like that, right? Yeah. So what happened is he became a good friend with them. So after the war, he invited them to England, and they had an audience with the Queen. Right, yeah. So they were very happy, all right, and so forth. Yeah. And on the last night of their visit, Lawrence offered them anything they wanted to take back to their desert home. Right, so they were staying in this beautiful five-class hotel, and T.E. Lawrence wanted to be gracious. He wanted to be a gracious host, and he told them, whatever in the hotel you can bring home, I will pay for it. Right, so the story goes that the sheikh called him and say, hey, we have something we want to bring home. Can you come to our toilet? So he was thinking, hey, where should I go to your bathroom? But anyway, he went. Right, so he went there. So and what they did was they brought him to the bathroom, and they pointed to the faucet in the bathtub. Okay, I don't know whether I got a picture now. Wait, yeah. Can I have the last slide of the faucet? Yeah, thank you, John. Yeah, right. You see the faucet? It's made of gold. It's so beautiful now. So the sheikh were very impressed with the faucet. They say, what? They turned on, got running water. You know, they come from where? Desert, right? So maybe they didn't bathe for months, you know, right? So they say, we want this. We want the fresh water, the living water. Right? Yeah, so they wanted running water. They did not realize that the faucets were superficial. Right? Because, what happened? Behind the faucet, there should be a plumbing, hot water heater, energy source. Right? So, the story goes that the magic is not in the faucet. I repeat, the magic is not in the faucet. It is what behind the faucet that gives water. So, the faucet can be 24 karat gold, but it's useless if it's not attached to the water supply. In the same way, like I said, you and I are just like faucets. We are totally useless, helpless, powerless. We are nothing more than just dust from the earth. But when we are connected to God, the Holy Spirit, our lives have meaning. Our life can be transformed. We can do mighty things for God. We can be powerful in God, right? To build up the kingdom of God, right? So God can use anyone. God can use anyone. Moses started. Abraham was too old. Jeremiah felt incapable. Paul was a murderer. Peter denied the Lord. Jonah ran from God. Martha was a worrywart. Jacob was a liar. David had an affair. Surely God can use you and I. Amen. Yeah. So you are wondering. After listening to me, you are wondering now. If the Holy Spirit is living inside of me, then why don't I experience the rivers of living water inside of me and flowing from me? Right? So, some of you may feel that my life is just a trickle of water. I don't experience the fullness, the abundant life, the so-called living water that Jesus provides. So today, we have good news. Right? And today, I'm going to have an altar call. And I want you, because of the time, do not delay. Right? Do not delay. So listen carefully. The first one, I want to speak for those of you, you have come to, maybe come to church many times, or maybe this is your first time, does not matter, but you have not yet received the living water from Jesus. And today, you need to drink from the river. And Jesus is giving you an invitation. We are not asking you to join a church. We are asking you to receive the living water from Jesus himself. Whether you stay on in the church or not, that's another matter. But we are saying, this is an invitation from Jesus. He wants to satisfy your thirst. Right? That is a salvation. Right? If you want, maybe, Christina, can I then, yeah, maybe at the side here, because the counselor wants to pray for you and all that. Alright? So if you want to, or some of you are not sure whether you are safe. Some of you say, I'm not sure, no? If I die today, am I going to heaven or not? Alright? Yeah. So you are not too sure. You can come here. Let us pray for you. Right? So the second, altar call is, you want to be immersed in the river. Everybody say immersed in the river. Yeah, drinking is not enough, just drinking. But you want to be immersed. Immersed means what? You want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Right? Yeah, you are a believer, you are walking right with God. But so far, you don't have the opportunity of somebody praying with you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Right, so you can come up here. We have ministers from the IHD team, the Inner Healing Deliverance team. They will come up. And of course, our youth pastor can come. They would love to lay hands on you and to pray for you so that you will be filled. This will be an experience that you will never forget. And lastly, some of you say, yes, I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, but I feel kind of dry. Right? This is what we call, you want to be lost in the river. Everybody say, lost in the river. Right. That means what? You want to what? You want to continue, and you have a continual infilling of the Holy Spirit. Right? It's not a one-time thing. Right? Ephesians 5:18 say what? Be filled. And the present continue, being continually filled. So for whatever reason, you have lost some joy, you have lost your peace, and you find that yourself, you are complaining. You know, coming to church is a drag. And so far, you know, something is not right. Alright? I won't say all these things, but you know, sitting there, something is not right. Let me tell you, you can come, we can pray for you so that you can be lost in your river and your spiritual life will never be the same. Amen? Right? So we want everybody to stand up and I ask Clarissa. Yeah. No, she will lead us in the song that I requested. Come, Holy Spirit. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Quickly come up. Huh? Just as they are singing. Quickly. Yeah. Yeah. Make your way up. Mm.
Spirit, follow me now. I need your anointing, come in your power. I love you, Holy Spirit. You're captivating my soul, and every day I grow to love you more. Come, Holy Spirit. Captivating my soul, and every day I grow to love you more.
Quickly come out, don't wait.
I'm reaching for your heart, you hold my life in your hands, drawing me closer to you. I feel your power renew, nothing compares to this place where I can see you face to face. I worship you in spirit and in truth.
Now, this is a call for you to receive the fullness of your spirit. All right? That's not matter. Right? That's not matter whether you are a leader, you are a member. Titles don't mention to the Lord. Right? But you feel. You feel that you need to be filled once again. You need an infilling. I just urge you, do not hold back. Alright, just come up here. Come up here. Come up here and just receive. Because Jesus wants to fill you up to the fullness. So do not leave this place, you know, feeling that you have not received. Alright, so please come up. Yeah. God sees your heart. Amen. Right. So even if someone is not laying hands on you, You just open your heart, open your mouth, and I'm going to pray right now. I'm going to pray a max prayer, believing that Jesus is here and He's going to fill you up. Your job is to be thirsty. Your job is to be hungry. That is your responsibility. So let the Lord Jesus fill you. Oh, Rabba Shakara Barabariando. Oh, Sarabariando Lobo Socoro Boshara Barabariando. Oh, Riando Lobo Secara Barabariando Lobo Secara Barabariando. Oh, Rabba Sheda Bariando Lobo Sicara Barabariando Lobo Shekara Barianda. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, you see these thirsty people. You see the hungry people. And today, they say in their heart that they want to receive the fullness of the Spirit. Lord, what you did for D.L. Moody years ago, you can do it for us, oh God. According to their faith, oh God, according to their hunger and thirst, Lord Jesus, baptize them. Baptize them in the fullness of the Spirit. Oh, Rabba Shaka Rabba Sara Bariando. Let them drink from you, that they never will be thirsty right now. In the name of Jesus, receive right now. Receive the gift of the Spirit. Oh, Rabba Shaka Rabba Soro Bo Sara Bariando Lobo Shara Bariando. Oh, Rabba Sikara Bariando Lobo Sara Barianda. Oh, Sheke Karaba Sora Barianda. Just open your mouth. Those of you that have been filled with the Spirit and you are able to even to pray in tongues, pray in the heavenly language, You do that. Remember, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. We do not allow passivity, because Jesus said, come to me and I will fill you up. Oh, Rabba Shakara Bariando Lobo Sara Barabariando. Fill them, Lord Jesus. Oh, Rabba Shakara Basoro Bosara Bariando Robo Sheriando. Oh, Rabba Shakara Basiriando Robo Shera Bariando.
Let's pray. Holy Spirit, would you search our hearts, reveal our heart condition to us? You know, guys, it's not about simply prayer at the front or on a one-off, but it's about our walk with God. It's about every day. It's about what we do in the unseen. It's about how we live, think, speak in a way that honors the Holy Spirit with us. So we don't just want to do a service and altar call thing, but we want to honor the Holy Spirit in the privacy of our rooms, in the inner chambers of our hearts, in our conduct. Because worship is not meant to be within the church walls, it's every part of our lives. So you know where you are, you and God is at. I want to stress on the word hunger. I think some of us here think that unless I feel deep emotions means I'm not hungry for God. I want to debunk that. Conviction is not about how deeply or strongly you feel about something. It's about what you give yourself to do. It's about what you're committed to doing. So some of us here perhaps feel very disturbed that I don't feel deep feelings like I want God with me. Does it mean that I do not love, not hunger at all? Perhaps not. Only you will know where you are at with God. I cannot judge, right? But some of us here have lost our hunger with God because first, you have not feasted on the right things. You know, just like how you have candy before your dinner. You lose your appetite. Or you are so hungry but you didn't eat until you totally lose your appetite. You know, sometimes you're too hungry then you like don't hungry anymore, right? You all have that experience before? So I want you on your own now before I close the service and just talk to God on your own, because it's really about your walk with God. So ask God, where am I with you? And just pray and ask God, I want to be hungry for you. I want to have true conviction for you. Holy Spirit, help me. You can start from an intellectual exercise, but I want you to be just serious in your prayer with God. Shall we do that? Just half a minute on your own. Just talk to God on your own. Holy Spirit, we just want to honor you with our lives. God, we ask for your forgiveness when we have not honored your royal and holy presence with us in our thoughts, in the words that we say, in how we love one another. Would you forgive us? We want to honor you in every sense of the word. We don't just want to ask for an infilling and be careless with your presence elsewhere. So Holy Spirit, we want to say to you, will you forgive us for the times when we have grieved you with the thoughts that we thought about, with the decisions that we made, with how we have not committed to not being defiled by some of the choices. We ask that you allow us to be as grieved as you are and take joy in the things that give you joy. We ask for our hearts to be set on the right things, the things of God. Father, I lift up particularly those of us here who feel like a broken cistern, that you have depended so much on things that do not give you true joy. I ask that you come to break every power of these false idols in our lives and to bring us back to having that right walk alignment with you. God, we pray that you will seek our hearts, search our hearts, that every false idols you will surface, that we may present to you a heart that is tender, that is pure. So search our hearts, help us to walk rightly with you. Fill us anew, God, with your Holy Spirit. We want to cherish the presence that you have with us. Father, I also particularly lift up some of us here who have lost the joy of our salvation. And there is a darkness in our hearts, some of us here, that we cannot explain. We just feel really, really down. I ask, God, that you will come to fill these hearts once again with the joy of your salvation, the joy of knowing you, the joy of drawing close to knowing who you are. That whatever that is baggage, whatever that is burnt outness, whatever that is things that has come to sap our appetite, sap our strength, God, will you come to do a change around and a breakthrough in these hearts, that there will be a fresh joy of simply knowing you and the purpose that we are created for. So God, we want to declare that you're King over our lives, and we want to live in a way that is worthy of who you are, as we have sung just now. So come and show us the ways of wisdom, the ways of humility in all our going out and coming ins. Help us to honor who you are. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Shall we just also thank Pastor Cynthia, who shared with us as well. Thank you, Pastor Cynthia. Service is over, but if you would like more prayer, you can come forward. Otherwise, can we just make our way slowly out? See you guys next week.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.whos.org.sg. God bless.